Thank you guys so much for just being here today. I want to honor Pastor Drew and Pastor Tamara for giving me this opportunity. It is such an honor to be able to speak at the church that made me who I am today. I mean, because the leadership here is just so remarkable. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find leadership like the ones here at Hope that are just so humble and committed to the uncompromised word of God. In praying for this lesson, actually, the sermon, it's not a lesson, the lessons are for kids. In praying for preparation for this sermon, I was praying like, man, God, just make me as good as a speaker as like everybody else who's on the stage and touches this mic, because especially recently, they've just been knocking like a straight home runs, like grand slams. Each and every sermon that's preached from this stage has been so good. And so I started getting in my own head and in my own thoughts, and I was like, man, I don't want to let people down. I don't want to be a weak link. And the Holy Spirit corrected me real quick. He's like, it's not about you. And I was like, it's so true. And then he took it a step further and he said, I can only deliver on half of what you just asked for. And it struck me as weird. I was like, the part about being a good preacher as everybody else who's up here. He's like, I can only deliver on half of that. The other half is yours to be obedient on. Because there's the promiser, there's the gift giver, the ultimate father, but we have to receive. I heard it said recently, an example of somebody who goes to a really fancy restaurant, and they can barely afford this restaurant. It's a really special occasion, so they go to this restaurant, they're going to have a nice dinner, and they get there, and after they place their order, some really rich man in the back stands up, and he says, hey, everybody's tab's on me. All you have to do is raise your hand. And so the person who can barely afford the restaurant gets really excited. He's like, oh man, this is such a blessing. And he orders all the appetizers, he orders all the fancy beverages, orders all kinds of desserts and the entrees, and gets overzealous and orders everything because he knows it's on somebody that he doesn't know. But in his overzealousness, he didn't raise his hand. So when the tab comes around, and he can't pay it. And so let's make sure to remember to receive God's promises, and remember that there's a part of Christianity that we have to do. That's kind of what the sermon's going to be on tonight, so I just want to pray that out. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for just reminding us that a relationship takes two, that we don't want our relationship to just be us talking and us talking and us talking. For those of you guys who have smartphones, you know that the text messages show up on one side, and then when somebody replies to you, it shows up on the other side. Let's not let our prayer life be one-sided. Let's give a chance for God to reply and for us to read that. So I just pray that out. God, we want to be ready to receive your word. Let us be humble to receive what you have for us tonight. Let our ears be open and our hearts be vulnerable. Let's be a vulnerable church. Let's be vulnerable with God. He already knows it. Oh, man. Joel said something really powerful last night. He said, if I know one of my friends is struggling with something and I know what's wrong with him and I know why he's sad, doesn't mean I don't want to hear about it. Let's be open with God. Because just because God knows what's going on in your life doesn't mean he doesn't want to hear you. God wants his children to cry out. So in Jesus' name, we cry out to you right now. Help us in our receptivity of your word. Your word is so powerful. In Jesus' mighty name, in a name above all name, in a name above pride, in a name above, I've heard these stories before, in a name above, this is just another sermon, in a name above, this is just another Wednesday night, in a name above ritualism, in a name above religiosity. In that name we pray, amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Mr. Joel, for some beautiful piano playing. Man, so let me start off, guys, saying this is going to be a really good and encouraging word if you guys are engaged. I can only speak for myself. I've missed more sermons than I'd like to admit that were good because I wasn't paying attention. I wasn't receptive. I wasn't engaged. So let's make sure we're engaged tonight. And we have the band and some of the audio team and some cameramen here. So We can get a little loud. I mean, we can't get as loud as a full congregation, obviously. So if everybody can be try to be 50% louder than they usually are, I'm gonna give you guys an opportunity to do that right now, to be excited and to be encouraged by the Word of God, because if there's anything to be excited for, it's the Word of God. Amen. That wasn't the opportunity, but you guys took it, and I love it. I'm gonna tell you guys some news right now that Fox will not tell you, that CNN will not tell you, that ABC News will not tell you. And that news is that today is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. How many of you guys have ever taken that scripture for granted and realized that the sun rising in and of itself is a blessing? That you waking up and still having breath in your lungs is a blessing. Imagine if that didn't happen. Imagine if we just grasped for a moment that Jesus went to the cross and his blood has cleansed us white as snow. And if that was the only blessing we were ever going to get, that would be more than enough to satisfy us. Amen? Because that's exactly what the blood of Christ is. Oh, man, today is a good day. Today is a good day no matter who cut you off, no matter who looked at you wrong, no matter who yelled at you to wear a mask. So that kind of leads me into the story, kind of introduce this. Me and my wife got into cycling recently, like riding actual bikes, not motorcycles. And so we got into that recently, and it's super cool because everybody kind of like needs like their hobby. And so I've noticed my wife doesn't enjoy the gym as much as I do, because she doesn't really like know what to do, and it, like that's fine. Some people enjoy golf, some people enjoy going to the gym. Some people enjoy running, which I don't know how. You are all a weird species that I do not understand, but I love you. Some people enjoy riding bikes, and so my wife has fallen in love with riding bikes, and it's awesome just to see her get out. And not that she never got out before, but she's exercised a lot more recently. You can't get anything past Pastor Joel. Can't slip anything past him. And so up until really recently, though, I haven't been able to use my days off to go cycling with her. I've been using them to take care of my my grandpa, who just needs a little assistance. And so that's kind of like an all-day thing where kind of needs somebody there all day to help him out. So that's what I've been using my days off for. And so when I'm doing that, she'll go out and ride her bike. And it's been like a whole month since I got a good bike ride in. And so we go for a bike ride recently, and I noticed that she's pulling further and further ahead of me, and I was like, oh, I must have like not been paying attention. So I kick it up a notch, I start pedaling a little harder, and I know she's still pulling further ahead of me. And I was like, when did she get so fast? And I look at my little speedometer, and like it's way low, it's the average speed is way lower than I usually go. And I was like, when did I get so slow? And so I mean, like so I've noticed my leg muscles aren't what they used to be, which isn't the end of the world. You can always exercise, get those muscles back. But what the Holy Spirit did show me was something really important. I saw my wife like pulling further and further away. And the Holy Spirit's like, that's what happens to Christians when they don't spend as much time with me. And all of a sudden, your last month's Christian walk looked way better than this month's Christian walk. And I was like, it was a lot of conviction. I was like, God, how do I keep that from happening spiritually? Because physically, if you get weak, you can just exercise and get back to where you were and ultimately get better. And so I was like, God, how do I do that? How do I make sure that I'm not getting weaker spiritually, but more so, how do I make sure I'm getting stronger in my relationship with you? And he said, just spend time with me, specifically my word. And I was like, oh, that is so good. You're so smart, Holy Spirit. And he was like, yeah, I am. And then we high-fived. Something funny happened today, though. We were riding, and we were across the street, and this lady was walking her dog, and then she yelled something. I didn't catch what she yelled, but it turns out later on, my wife clarified to me. She was like, did you hear that lady yell at us? I was like, yeah, what did she yell for? And she was like, put on your mouth. No, cover your mouths. I was like, okay. Like, it was just strange. People are odd. So we pray for that lady, and we pray that she covers her mouth. In Jesus' name, you are so good. So that's kind of what I want to get into, is like, how do we keep from making sure our spiritual selves are not getting weaker and we're not backsliding? Because Pastor Vegas said a couple weeks ago, if you're stagnant, you're backsliding. Yeah. If you're not moving forward, you're falling backwards. Yeah. And so how do we keep from doing that? By being in the Word, because the Word is so powerful. Let's go to our opening scripture, Luke 5, verses 4. And so let me provide a little background information. Jesus is preaching from Simon's boat, and he's not Peter yet. So he's preaching from Simon's boat, and Simon had a rough night. How many of you guys have had a rough day at your job? How many of you guys have had a rough week? How many of you guys have had a rough month? How many of you guys have had a rough couple months, year even? So we've all been there. And so Simon's just discouraged. When Peter actually asks Simon to take him out on the boat, he's washing his net. He's washing an empty net. And so he asks him to go out. And so when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." And so if there was a textbook, if there was like fishing 101, fishing for dummies, this wouldn't be in it. This would be contradictory to all the basics of fishing. This is in the wrong place. This is in the wrong time. This is in the wrong depth. And so Peter, against all that logic, and on top of his emotional state, because look what Peter answers. Simon says, "Master, we toiled all night." And toiling isn't like a normal thing, I tidied up the house. You didn't toil over the house all day. You kind of just maybe swept and put the pillows where they're supposed to be. But toiling, if we're keeping the house cleaning analogy, that means you like got down on your knees and you scraped the and you washed the what are the boards at the bottom of the room called? The baseboards. You scraped the baseboards. You took all the cobwebs off of the corners. You dusted the fan blades. You swept up all the dog hair, enough to make another dog. And you toiled. Your house doesn't only look clean, now it smells clean. That's what toiling is. So Simon answers a real answer. Like, how many of you guys are glad that God doesn't want us to be robots and just give him the answer that he always wants to hear? How many of you guys are happy that God is such a real emotional God that we can be real with him? That we can tell him how we feel, and he doesn't judge us for that. How many of you guys are happy that God doesn't judge your feelings? And so Simon answers, "We toiled all night and took nothing." We worked all night. I hear some discouragement in his word, in his voice. I hear some almost frustration. But then I see a change of I see his true heart. I love Simon's attitude right here. Because Simon he doesn't care about the logical answers. He doesn't care about how he's feeling. He doesn't care about how things looked. He doesn't care that he worked all night and caught nothing. He doesn't care that Jesus is asking him to do something that kind of seems illogical, that doesn't always make sense. He says, "But at your word, I will let the nets down." Oh my gosh, if we could just have that kind of attitude. At your word, God, it doesn't matter what my life looks like. It doesn't matter what my emotions are like. Let's be like Simon. And say, my emotions, my outlook, my circumstances do not control me. Because I call Lord. I let him be my decision maker. At your word. That's actually the title for today's sermon. At your word. Unless you want to put a SpongeBob reference as your sermon title, you can put "because you told me to." Only some real 90s kids are going to get that reference. "Because you told me to." And so at your word, I will let down the nets. So today we're talking about trying to hear the Holy Spirit and hear what God has to say to us. And so there's sometimes we can confirm that and say 100% that is God, 100% that is not what God's trying to tell you. For example, God is not going to tell you to steal. That's a sin. 100% God is going to tell you to serve, but you know what's not going to be 100% is how he wants you to serve, how everybody has different talents and different weaknesses. And so maybe you're called to be on the Hope Band. Maybe you're called to help in kids ministry. Maybe you're called to be on the set up and tear down team. Everybody has their calling. Everybody has more than one calling. Real quick on callings, we put a lot of emphasis on finding your calling. And if you don't find your calling, you'll be lost. I want to say, don't be so obsessed with finding your calling as you are building the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and all else will fall into place. Amen. Just seek first the kingdom and your calling. I believe strongly if you're seeking the kingdom first, your calling will come to surface. Amen. Amen. So at your word, and when he had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Oh man, God is going to bless us so much that we're not going to do that. We're not going to know what to do with all these blessings. And so, like I was saying before, we cannot always say 100% if it is the Holy Spirit or if it's not the Holy Spirit. That's one thing I love about meeting with Pastor Drew. When I bring some circumstance to him or something that's on my heart, he'll tell me what's in the Bible. He'll give me some advice that is from the scripture that he just gave to me. But then he'll always end with this, that he's not the Holy Spirit. Pastor Drew will be really clear and say, I'm not God. I'm just telling you what God's word says. And I love that. Because at the end of the day, we need to be obedient to what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And so I can't say for sure if it is or if it isn't the Holy Spirit, if it sure is or is God. So I just kind of put a little list together of something I'm going to call hearing aids. Kind of help us hear the word, get it? Bad dad jokes, I'm sorry. somebody on Facebook chat is going to get that. So hearing aid number one. In verse 4, we can see obviously what God tells us is not always going to make sense. Sometimes it's going to go against what we had planned. Sometimes it's going to go against what we think would be the logical answer. Hearing aid number one is God. What God says won't always make sense. And then verse 9 in the same Luke 5. For he and all who were with them were astonished at the catch of fish. These guys lived and breathed fish. All they ate was fish. They probably smelled like fish all the time. Man, imagine being married to a fisherman. Jeez. So some seafood lovers out there is like, oh, that doesn't sound half bad. My hubby always coming home smelling like salmon. So Jesus, hearing aid number two, God speaks your language. God knew that all these fishermen, that was their language. They knew fish. They knew how to catch the fish. They knew how to cook the fish. They knew how to sell the fish. And so he used a massive amount of fish to speak a massive message to everybody there that day. All who were with him were astonished. Amen? Cool. So some of you guys who know me know I'm kind of a competitive person, and I like to play this like game in my head with like stuff that has like no importance whatsoever. Like one time I was working at a tile distribution center, and so I would have to stack pallets of tile like all day. And so in my head, for some reason, I put together like this team of Olympic tile stackers. And I was like, I wonder what that would look like. Just this group of like 3 to 4 guys, a team of 4 guys just throwing tile over their shoulder without looking because they have such trust in their teammate that he's going to catch it and lay the box down perfectly. And they can do that over and over. And I'm just weird. It's probably just me. I probably think about like Olympic sandwich making and like how fast you can put something together. And so like, yeah, it's weird. Like if you guys want to see an Olympic timed scrambled egg burrito, just invite me over for breakfast. I can make you a scrambled egg burrito in like 3 minutes flat. And so my wife laughs because she knows. She's like, oh man, I need to leave to work in like 5 minutes. Where did you get that burrito from? I made it, bye. And so I get kind of competitive with myself sometimes, and I like to like play little like challenges with myself. It's just how I think. And so I'm reading the word, and sometimes I like to get a scripture that doesn't look deep or profound, and I like to maybe like preach a little mini sermon in my head to myself sometimes. And it's fun most of the time, because it's like, oh, Jesus wept. That means he had emotions, and Jesus feels, and he feels what you're feeling. And like, I don't know, I just hype myself up sometimes. And then sometimes it's kind of discouraging, because I get this scripture, and I know like God kind of pointed it out to me, so I want to get what God has for me, and I press myself, and I challenge myself, and nothing comes of it. And so one day I was struggling, like just reading the Bible without like tripping over scriptures that I know God's speaking to me. Something it stuck out to me, but I don't know why it stuck out. And so the Holy Spirit calmed me down, and he said, "You're challenging yourself. Why don't you try me?" And it was so good. I was like, God, you're right. I've been trying to think in my own thoughts, and I've been trying to work in my own abilities, but I haven't tried your abilities yet. So what do you got for me, Jesus? What do you got for me, Holy Spirit? And so I'm in John 21, and I'm in John 21, 11. This is the Jesus has showed himself, the resurrected Jesus has showed himself to his disciples. And the disciples are fishing, because that's what they know. That's what they know to do. And so Jesus shows up, and they don't know it's Jesus yet. And he says, hey, man, have you caught anything? And they're like, no. And so he's like, put your net on the other side of the boat and try it out. And so they do pull up a bunch of fish. The nets are about to break. And Peter realizes, he's like, I've seen this before. Wait, you're Jesus. Jumps off the boat, swims ashore, because he's so excited to see Jesus. And then Jesus tells him, like, why don't you go grab some of the fish you caught and bring it to shore? And so he's like, okay. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish. And yet the net hadn't torn. That's a fairly simple verse. But then something stuck out to me was that end part. Yet the net hadn't torn. And I was like, wow, I felt like the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me, like, in any other case, if I had not given Simon Peter that command, the net would have torn. Because it's implying that the net should have torn. With that many fish, the net should have broke. The net should have been disintegrated by how much fish that were. And so hearing aid number three, there's power in God's word. Because as long as you feel like Jesus is telling you to do something, like the Holy Spirit is empowering you to do something, let's not get overcomplicated, guys. Like if you're in the grocery store and you feel like you're supposed to pray for somebody, let's not overcomplicate it. Like, let's not like be like, Jesus, God, if that is you, turn off all the lights in this grocery store except for the one above that man and have it shine down on him. And then more specifically, have it shine down on his knee that is giving him troubles. And then I shall pray. It's not overcomplicated, guys. There's power in God's word because we see Peter bringing up this net and we see that the net should have torn, but it didn't. Sometimes life is going to feel... Sometimes your ministry maybe feel like it might be tearing. Maybe you feel like your ministry is not what it's supposed to be. Like, God, this isn't going to work. God, I can't do this. The net's going to break. God, help me. If you feel like Jesus is commanding you, then the net's not going to break. Then your ministry is not going to break. Jesus is telling somebody right now, don't give up. No matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter how much you want to, just don't quit. Amen? Amen. And so in Matthew 14, verse 29, we see yet again another Peter. I think Peter's my favorite disciple. I didn't plan all these Peter examples. And so in Matthew 14, the disciples are in a boat yet again. And the waves are kind of choppy, and it's kind of a foggy night, and it's kind of spooky. I imagine if they were to retell this story, it'd be almost like a campfire ghost story. They'd have like the flashlight on a night just like this. And so it's kind of a spooky night. There's a lot of fog. And so they see somebody like out and they're like, hey, look, it's a guy. That guy doesn't have a boat. How is he? It's a ghost. And they panic and they freak out. And then Peter's like, wait, no, that's Jesus. Jesus, just say the word. Of course, it's Peter, right? Jesus, just say the word and I will come out to you. Just like you are. I'll walk on the water just like you are. And so, of course, Jesus says, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water towards Jesus. This is a really popular story because it's talking about faith. But what I think we sometimes don't realize, I'm going to borrow from Pastor Daryl Copes, who's a really good friend of Hope Community. He actually was the guest speaker for our first Sozo camp, if I'm not mistaken. Gosh, love Pastor Daryl Copes. I rocked the box. It's an oldie. Oldie but a goodie. And so Pastor Daryl Copes pointed out in his sermon at Sozo, at the first Sozo youth camp, that when Peter stepped out the boat, how many of you guys have been around long enough? How many of you guys have read enough Bible to know that the Bible isn't always talking about what it's just talking about? The woman at the well, the woman was talking about water. Jesus was talking about salvation. I imagine the woman like drinking a cup of water going, I know what you mean. And so Peter steps out the boat, and physically he's walking on water, but spiritually, yes, come, Jesus said. Jesus spoke. Peter's walking on the water, but spiritually Peter's walking on Jesus' word. Amen? Amen. Guys, hearing aid number four, the word of God is a faithful foundation. For those of you guys who know the story, you guys know the water gets a little more choppy and Peter kind of gets scared and he falls into the water and then gets pulled up by Jesus and taken back to the boat. You guys need to find the kids lesson that we did on this one because it is hilarious. You guys go find it. I'll DM me on Instagram. I'll tell you about it later. God's word is a faithful foundation. How many of you guys know there's a lot of foundations out there that the world has, but none of them are faithful. None of them are eternal like God's word is. They're all temporary. They're all gone in a moment's notice. Somebody can put their foundation. Somebody can have their bank account be their foundation. Somebody can have their athletic ability be their foundation. A lot of people can have their job title as their foundation. And then it wouldn't even necessarily be your fault, but sometimes those things can just get ripped away from you in a moment's notice. Somebody's bank account that has tens of thousands of dollars gets stolen, their identity theft, and then overnight they go from having tens of thousands of dollars to zero in a moment's notice. That job title that you've worked so hard to get, there was a bad move made by the CEO, there was a bad move by some higher-ups, and the company went belly up, and now everybody that worked there is fired. Now your job title, your identity is now gone in that. You don't know what you're going to do. God's word is a faithful foundation. How many times have we heard about athletes that had the world in front of them, and then all of a sudden their ACL tears, and they're out for three seasons, and no one's going to want an athlete that's been out for three seasons with a known injury that's known to happen again. What's up with the ACL tearing? Like, I feel like I never hear anything good about the ACL. I only hear bad things. So, this darn ACL, man. So God's word is the only faithful foundation that we can put our trust in and know it's not going to leave us. God is not going to leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Amen. This is so good. Are you guys getting this? So, as you guys know, I have the honor of teaching the 6 to 12-year-olds on some Sunday mornings. And one day, the scripture that we're going to go over right now, Psalm 34, verse 8, came up in it. And I was like, how do I describe to kids the verse, taste and see that the Lord is good? And I was like, can't really, like, use money because they don't understand that concept yet. And I was like, they don't all play video games, so you can't use that example. And I was like, what do they all do? They all take naps, and they all eat. No, they all eat food. Yes, what better example to get to a little kid than some snacks? Because, boy, do little kids love their snacks. You ask a kid, like, hey, you hungry? No. Can I have a snack, though? It's like, are you hungry or not? What are you talking about? I may or may not have a niece who likes raw onions as snacks. That's crazy. They asked me to babysit her for a couple hours. I was like, sure, of course. She's like, how hard that can be? How can that be? And she's like, hey, can you make me a snack? I was like, sure, you want like SpaghettiOs? You want like mac and cheese? I don't know, make you a sandwich or something? She's like, I just want a bowl of onion. You want a like salad with it or something? No, just onion. What? Raw onion. You don't want me to grill it or anything. Onion. And I was like, what the heck? So I was like, sure. So I chop up some onions. I dice up some onions. And sure enough, they're gone in a moment's notice. And then I told her mom, who picked her up later, I was like, hey, she likes onions? Like, that's so weird. She's like, dude, no joke. I go into the fridge to, like, make a salad sometimes, and I grab an onion, and there's, like, little bites taken out of it. I was like, dude, this chick is eating onions like it's apples. A little side story just to, so taste and see. I did not bring onions to a Sunday service, I promise. What I did bring were some Oreos. I went to Target right before service, and I picked up some Oreos, but not just any Oreos. You guys know what, like, Oreo, like, makes those, like, cool, like, flavors? It'll be, like, mint chocolate chip, gingerbread, peanut butter fudge, soy. Hey, did you guys know that normal Oreos are vegan? I didn't know that. Fun fact. So I pick up some Oreos, and I pick up the classic Oreos. I pick up some special Oreos that the kids probably haven't had before. Because I'm like, the kids have had Oreos for sure. Or at least they know what they taste like. But I bet you they don't know what this one tastes like. And so I grab like a peanut butter fudge and I grab like a chocolate shake Oreo or something weird like that. And so right before service, before all of them get there, I put an Oreo in my pocket. And yes, I put an Oreo in my pocket. And so I'm teaching the lesson. And so when we get to this verse, I'm like, hey, I'm getting kind of hungry. And then so I reach in my pocket, I pull out an Oreo. That got everybody's attention real quick. Ain't nothing get a kid's attention like some sweets. And so even like the ones that were kind of zoning out, they're like, whoa, what? Sugar? Cookies? Teacher, are you giving away cookies? And I was like, no, it's mine. It's my cookie. And so I eat it, I was like, oh, man, this is such a good Oreo. Anyways, guys, God's good, and Jesus is the answer, and oh, man, this Oreo is so good. And somebody's like, I've had Oreos before, and I was like, but have you had a peanut butter fudge Oreo? And their faces lit up. They're like, oh, ooh. They're like, their little minds were blown. They're like, what? Peanut butter fudge? I didn't know even he had that. What witchcraft is this, teacher? Put down the Oreo. And so I was like, man, I mean, you guys want to know what this tastes like? And they're like, yes, because they can kind of see it coming. They're like, teacher has Oreos. I can smell them. And I was like, but, I mean, you guys know what Oreo tastes like, right? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, you guys have had, like, fudge on a sundae or something? Like, yeah. And I was like, you guys all have had peanut butter sandwiches, right? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, so you guys don't need to eat this? And then little Jaden Rivas picked it up. It was the cutest thing. He's like, wait, teacher, I have to eat that for myself so I know what it tastes like. And I was like, yes, he got it. And yes, shout out to Jaden Rivas, such a smart kid. All the kids are incredibly smart, but he happened to catch that one. And so I pass him out later. But guys, get this: Psalms 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. How many of you guys know that, especially in the time we're living in now, we need some refuge, we need some safety, we need some peace, we need a break. Boy, do I need a break from 2020 from sometimes. So I taste and see the Lord is good, and I take refuge in him. But I want you guys to get this. Hearing aid 6. This might be the most important one. You need your own relationship with God. The same way. Yeah, amen to that. The same way. I can describe what a cinnamon roll tastes like. I can describe what this amazing pizza. You guys want to try something crazy? Get a Domino's delivery. It's $6 for 2 medium pizzas with 2 toppings each. And you get, what you do is you go white sauce, white Alfredo sauce, you do chicken, you do spinach. And then you have like a chicken spinach Alfredo pizza. It's amazing. It's so good, somebody says. And so I can describe what that pizza tastes like. And you guys can kind of get it, but you guys haven't experienced it for yourselves. Guys, you have not experienced God until you encountered him for yourself. Somebody can go to Disneyland and then go on all the rides, and they can tell you about the rides, but you haven't experienced the ride yet. Go dive into the Word of God. And before you guys go, just pray a simple prayer. God, show me what you want me to see tonight. God, show me what you want in your Word. God, speak to me. God's like, good. I've been waiting for this. I've been waiting for you to say that. I've been waiting to speak to you. I've been calling you this whole time. You know how I know that I'm not doing a very good job listening to God? Is when the only time he speaks to me is when I'm driving to work or when I'm in the shower. Because I was like, man, like this is so cool. I was like, how come you don't speak to me more often, God? God's like, how come you don't listen to me more often? And I was like, oh, I got it. I'm sorry. I haven't been doing as good a job as I should have been. Because the only time is when he's able to speak to me is the only time that, like, I have no choice but to listen to him. I have no choice but to focus on the road. I can't be on my phone. I can't be on the phone in the shower or else my phone's going to get destroyed. I've seen these, like, oh, my gosh, people are crazy. I've seen these devices that you put your phone in and then you can use it in the shower. It's like, give it a break. If the only time God speaks to you is the only time, like, you have no choice but to do it, we're doing something wrong. If the only time God's ever speaking to you is at 3 a.m. in the middle of the night, because now you finally put your phone away, you finally turned off all the other distractions, and so God's like, hey, I'm going to get you. I'm going to talk to you now that you finally put away all the other distractions. Guys, let's put away the distractions more often. Amen? Amen. Oh, that was good. Whew. Real quick, let's talk about somebody who heard God and didn't know it was God. Let's talk about Samuel. Samuel is such an awesome man of God. Samuel's actually the one that finds David. Samuel is so in tune with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, that he finds David. Even though David's dad didn't even bring him into the lineup. Because David's dad, Jesse, had a bunch of boys, and so he brings all the boys that he thinks Samuel's looking for. And imagine a prophet showing up to your house and like, hey, which one of your kids is the best. I've been told to come find one of your kids. I don't to come worship with the king who has a distraught spirit on him. And the dad's like, oh, I know it. It's the oldest one. I don't think it's that one. It's the strongest one. I don't know. It's the most handsome one. It's the smartest one. And he shows all the kids, and Samuel has to say it. Jesse's like, oh, I got one. Jesse doesn't say, I have one more. Samuel is so in tune. He's like, you have one more? I feel like you're maybe, you have anybody else? And he's like, oh, yeah. I forgot the kid who takes care of the sheep. That's how in tune Samuel was, that before Jesse, David's dad, even brings him out, he already knows about him because he's that in tune with the Holy Spirit. And so let's look at the first time Samuel ever hears the voice of God. I didn't put it in the notes, so if the audio team can try to pull it up. It's in 1 Samuel verse 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse, I believe it's verse 9. Samuel is taking care of this old guy named Eli, and he's the head of the church that he's at. And so there's a voice in the middle of the night going, "Samuel." So he's like, "Oh, that must be Eli." So Eli at this point is essentially blind. And so having taken care of my grandpa, I know what it feels like to be on waiting for somebody to be like, "Oh, you need me?" And to like to kind of have your ear always like out to hear it. Ooh, that's a word right there. How many of us have our ears inclined to God? Because even when we're at work and we're busy and we're doing all this stuff, can we kind of maybe hear a still small voice and be like, "Hey, boss, I gotta take a 10-minute break. Is that okay?" "Yeah, go for it." And you go take a 10-minute break and you just come in tune with the God. How many of us have our ears inclined? So having taken care of my grandpa, I kind of know what it's like to have your ears inclined to be always on the ready to hear him. And Samuel, at this point, is a young man. He hasn't done anything like super miraculous, nothing by comparison to what he's going to do. His job is to open up the church. It's just open things up. And so remember how I mentioned earlier, you're called to serve. So not everybody's called to be on the worship band. Not everybody's called to do the same thing. Maybe you're called to be on the setup and teardown team. Ooh. This is good. Somebody has been struggling with their ministry. They've been like, "My ministry doesn't seem as important as Pastor Drew's ministry." Doesn't mean steward it. Come on. Be faithful in the little things, amen. Don't worry so much about how important your ministry is. The Bible says as each part does its share. You're helping build the kingdom whether you open the church or whether you're preaching. Amen. You're preaching whether you have the mic or you don't. So his job is just to open up the church every morning. And so he's in position. Samuel's in position, and he has his ears inclined. Hears a voice in the middle of the night. Go, "Samuel." So he thinks it's Eli, because he's probably been taking care of Eli, who's essentially blind at this point. Runs over to Eli. "Eli, what do you need? You need me to help you with something?" "Go back to sleep. I didn't call you." "Okay, my bad." Goes back to sleep. Hears it again. "Samuel." Runs over to Eli. "Eli, you called me again? I ran as fast as I could. What do you need? I brought you the water." "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Goes back to bed. "My bad. Sorry, Samuel." And then a third time it happens. Samuel runs to Eli. "Eli, I know for sure you called me this time. What's up, dude?" Eli's like, "Oh, I get it. God's calling you, dude. Next time you hear that, just say, 'Speak now, your servant's listening.'" And Samuel's like, "Okay, I got it." Imagine Samuel, like, I think it's like 70s Robin, who's like, "Gee Willikers, Batman." He's just like all cheery and stuff like that. That's how I picture Samuel in my head. Probably not how he really was. But runs on over to bed, just like Robin would. Lays down all excited. And he hears it again. "Samuel." You know what the cool thing is? Is that, like, God gave Samuel multiple chances. God wasn't hiding from Samuel. It wasn't like God said, "Samuel," and then he went and hid, and he's hee-hee. "He'll never find me here." It's not God's not playing hide and seek with you guys. He wouldn't send Jesus to the cross to play hide and seek with you. He's delivered his half of the promise. It's our turn to deliver ours and be obedient and be listening, have our ears inclined. So the next time you feel like God's speaking to you, just like Samuel does. Speak, your servant is listening. And so I heard this verse and I was like, this is so powerful. I got to know what it says in Hebrew. For those of you guys who know me, it's like a running joke in the church, like, oh, here goes Joaquin with the Hebrew. What does it mean in the Greek, Joaquin? Go ahead, just say it. I know you want to say it. And so I looked it up, and the word listening is used 77 times total in the Bible. That means there's 76 other occurrences of that word in the Hebrew or Greek. I can't remember exactly which one. So I was like going down the list, and yeah, it's like, you heard me, listening, heard. Are you guys trying to hear me? And all of a sudden, there's this spot in Deuteronomy 28. You don't have to turn there. Or it's the same exact Hebrew word, but this time around, it means obey. It means obey. Speak now, your servants listening. How many of you guys have heard something and then not listened to it? How many of you guys have gone on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride, and as they put you on there, like, yarr, get ready for a massive voyage, but please keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle or you'll end up with a hook like me. I love how they make it like themed, and then they'll do the Spanish one, and the Spanish ones aren't always in theme. Rápido y manos y tarrafo. And the Spanish ones always crack me up when they're not like the same theme. And how many of you guys have heard the instructions on Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland, but you didn't listen to them? You went out and you stuck your hand in the water because it was so enticing. I had to do it. And then this is probably just me. I'm going to expose myself. But you stick your hand in the water and you smell it. And you're like, why does the Pirates of the Caribbean smell like a swamp? I heard the instructions. I heard the cool pirate guy on the megaphone. I didn't listen to him, though. There's a lot of people out there who are hearing the sermons, or the Sunday sermons. There's a lot of people out there who are reading the Bible. But you know what separates them from the disciples? You know what separates the casual Christians from the real disciples, the people who are willing to give it their all, the people who have laid down their life, the people who have ready to pick up their cross daily? You know what the difference between casualness and complacency and those who mourn in the spirit? The difference is hearing. Hearers hear, listeners do. Readers read. Disciples read and do. Who's ready to go out and do the word? Who's ready to go out and not just hear Sunday sermons, but do them? Who's ready to hear some instruction from Pastor Drew and not just hear it, but do it? There's a whole difference. I could hear my managers at work, but if I don't listen to them, I lose my job. The Bible talks a lot about trees and bearing fruit. So the difference between a tree that is barren and doesn't provide any fruit and is dead on the outside, and the tree that is full of life, is the one that's doing, is the one that's producing fruit. And you can only produce fruit if you're getting nutrients. And the only place we can get real sustenance from, the only place we can get real satisfaction from, is the Word of God. Is the Holy Spirit speaking into you on a daily basis? Stop being just a Sunday Christian. Stop being just a Wednesday night Christian. This is conviction to me right now. When was the last time you took some notes? This sermon's a note taker's dream. Oh, he gave us a title. He has all these scriptures. There's hearing aids. I get to write down little points. If you guys need some inspiration, message my sister on Instagram or find her, DM me, and then I'll tag you on her Instagram page. She takes some amazing notes. I can imagine her right now, like, just like drawing up hearing aids and then putting like a little ear next to it and like making it all nice. And she's really good at calligraphy. When was the last time we took notes? When was the last time we did? When was the last time we didn't just hear something, but we did it? We listened to it. So let's go into the last hearing aid of the night. You guys ready? This is actually the scripture that inspired this entire sermon. I was studying for a Thursday Sozo Devo, which if you guys haven't watched those, go watch a couple. There's probably a good couple dozen by now. They are so good. They're only like 15 to 30 minutes long. 30 minutes if it's me, 15 minutes if it's somebody who's following the instructions better. And so, gotta listen, that's conviction to me. And so I was like, man, I don't really know what I'm supposed to talk about. I'm not feeling any tugs. So I just like quieted down and I was like, God, what do you want to tell Sozo today? What do you want the Devo to be about? Because this isn't my Devo, this is your Devo. And he's like, you got it. That's what I was waiting for. Go ahead and open up to the resurrection of Jesus. Can't go wrong with that. And I was like, yeah? He's like, yeah. And I was like, God, you're so smart. And he's like, yeah, I am. And then we high-fived again. But tells me to open up to the resurrection of Jesus. So I open up to like one of the first, where they first find out Jesus is alive. They actually find out he's not dead. It's a little difference. Matthew 28, verse 5 and 6. Mary has gone to the tomb to find Jesus to anoint his body with herbs and spices. So they get there and the tomb's open and the body's gone. So they start panicking. They're like, somebody stole the body of Jesus. Like, that is such a dishonor, because they wanted to honor the dead in Jesus' time. And you honored it by doing the herbs and spices kind of thing. And so they get there and it's not there. But there is a placeholder. There's an angel that's there and speaks to Mary, and she kind of panics, because who wouldn't get a little freaked out by an angel appearing before you in like a time of distress? And then the angel spoke to the woman and said, don't be afraid. He said, I know you were looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. Woo! Jesus isn't always going to be where we think he's going to be. Amen? How many of you guys know Jesus can move at work the same way he can move in the church? How many of you guys know that Jesus can move in a secular workplace just as much as he can move here in church? Amen? Man, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. This is the best part, guys, is that, like, I've read the scripture a good handful of times, and the word of God is so alive, and it's so new, and it's so refreshing, and it's so real, that you can look at it time and time again, look at the same exact story, and get something new. The same way you can go to the same restaurant with a best friend or with your spouse or with whoever, and you could eat the same food, but then you have a new conversation with them. Over the same food, you get to have a new experience over the same kind of setting. It's exactly the same thing with the Word of God. Open up to a story that you've read a dozen times, and all of a sudden you find something new. And you're like, oh, God is so good. Amen? This part is so simple, we can read over it so quickly. That's why we need to be ready. That's why we need to be ready, just like Samuel was. Next time you open up your Bible, right before you open it up, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Your servant is ready to do. Whew. That's it right there, guys. The fact that you're saying your servant, because a servant serves. A servant isn't a passive noun. It's a noun that has to be followed by some verbs. A servant does. Your servant is listening. Your servant is ready to do. I'm opening up my word, God. And I know you're going to want to talk to me, because that's the kind of God you are. You're the God of relation. You're the God of now. You're the God of whatever I'm going through. The same way up in the first verse we talked about, you don't have to turn there, but Peter was all up in his junk, and he was real with God. So you can come to God and you can say, God, I had a rough day at work. God, this year has been so hard. And I feel like God's saying, I know it's been tough. But just because the year has been tough doesn't mean I'm not God anymore. Just because there's turmoil going on around you and everything's in chaos doesn't mean I still don't have every hair on your head numbered. Just because all these circumstances are going on and you don't feel like I'm there doesn't mean my thoughts are not as numerous as sands in the sea. God's God no matter what. Amen? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. This is such a simple line, but it has so much power. Just as he said it would happen. Oh, come on, church. just as he said it would happen. God, I don't see how this is going to turn out right. God, I don't see how my spouse is ever going to find me. God, I don't know how this is going to work. Calm down. I know that sometimes we don't like to hear that, but sometimes we need to hear that. I know when I'm all riled up and I'm frustrated with something, somebody tells me to calm down. I don't like it. You calm yourself down. I'm angry. I'm upset. I don't know how this is going to work out. Let the Holy Spirit calm you down. Because just like Mary was afraid right here, next time you're afraid, just remember, just like he said he would. Hearing aid number 7, I couldn't even think of a fancy way to say this. Just like he said he would. His promises are yes and amen. If Jesus said it, if the Bible says that there's healing, there's going to be healing. If the Bible declares the God of peace that'll give you a perfect peace that surpasses all understanding, it's going to happen. And I know there's somebody out there with some real struggles. That's not to say that what you're struggling with, what you're feeling, isn't real. I just want to kindly tell you that I've experienced it myself, that what God's word says is more real than my emotions. What God's word says is more real than my circumstances. What God promises, he's going to deliver. God is 100% batting accuracy. God, if God went to school, he'd have a perfect attendance award. But that's not to say what you're struggling with isn't real. That's not to say the anxiety you deal with, the depression you may be dealing with, it's not to say it isn't a real thing. I mean, I think if we were a little more real with ourselves, we'd have a lot more healing. Oh, that's good right there. Because sometimes you wanna say, no, I got this. And I'll say it like this. There were sometimes I was late to class at high school, sometimes. And I'd have to rush to class, and I kind of did a little jog. And you know the textbooks they give you, they can get really heavy really quick. And so, dude, in middle school, why are middle schoolers such giant backpacks? I mean, maybe not nowadays, but when I was in middle school, these kids had some massive backpacks. They would just look like a turtle running around. And then especially that one kid who had the rolling the rolling one, he'd sprinting to class as fast as he could. And then like he would hit a rock or something and the thing would flip over. And then he wouldn't even care. He would keep running with it, even though it's flipped over, the wheels are upside down, and now the whole thing is just scraping all over the floor. And they're running to class. And you get to class and then like as soon as you come around the door and the door is open, as soon as you walk into the door, you slow down yours. Okay? And you don't want to look like you're rushing to class because that's nerdy. You don't want to look nerdy to be rushing to class. And like, let's say if you're running and you're a little out of breath and you're a little short of breath, you like hold your breath so you're not like huffing and puffing. I imagine it like this, where like this is the doorway, and you're like, hey, how's it going? What's up? Because we don't want to show that we're struggling with something. If you're on a hike and you're hiking up this massive hill and you walk by somebody and you like hold your breath and walk upright, like you're not struggling with the hill and you're not struggling with the hike, you're like, what's up? Yeah, no, no 3 miles, no problem. Oh, he's gone. How many of us have come to church like that? Where we don't want to show our struggle. We don't want to expose ourselves. We want to look like the perfect Christian that everybody knows we got issues. You bringing your issues to church is actually what church is meant to be. You coming to Pastor Drew or Pastor Tamara and saying like, "Hey, struggling with this." If you're huffing and puffing with something, stop trying to hide it. Stop trying to. That's the opposite of the gospel. You hiding all your issues and you trying to shake yourself free of whatever stronghold it may be isn't the gospel. You cannot break your own chains. You cannot solve your own solutions. That's what Jesus was here for. For us to try to fix everything and for us to try to do it on our own is denying why Jesus endured the cross. So let's be real with ourselves. Let's be real with our pastors. Let's be real with our leaders. Bring our struggles to them so they can help you. Bring your struggles to God. It says, cast your cares upon me. God wants you to cry out. God wants you to be real with him. Just like Simon was with Jesus. Master, we toiled all night. I tried, Jesus, I did. And it didn't work. That ministry I was working on, I tried. Jesus said, it's okay. You tried your way. Now try my way. Try just getting into your word. Stop worrying so much. Just seek my kingdom first, and everything else will come into place. Hearing aid 7, guys, just like he said he would. If you feel, how many of you guys feel sometimes like God said he would, but it just doesn't look like it's going on right now? God promised me a spouse. God promised me this. God promised me that. But sometimes it just doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it's coming through. The angel that spoke to Mary is speaking to all of us today. Don't worry. Jesus is alive just like he said he would. There's an empty tomb, guys. I missed a hearing aid and I really want to touch on it. So the story of Lazarus, we'll go over it real quick. Lazarus has been dead. Lazarus is one of Jesus' best friends. And so he gets there and he wants to raise Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus has been dead for days now. And so, of course, Jesus gets there and real powerful, real easy, real simple. Jesus just, Lazarus, come forth. Hearing aid number, fill in the blank. God's word is personal. God's word is so personal. He's telling you guys right now, by name, replace it with your own name. He's saying, Joaquin, come forth. Little Joshua, come forth. Daniel, son, come forth. And there's a revival in that. There's revival in the word of God. There's revival when you encounter a personal God. Amen? Maybe you feel like there hasn't been revival because you haven't encountered God for yourself. And there's no condemnation in that. It's not too late. If anything, that should be encouragement. But, oh, man, that's what's been missing. It's just an encounter with God. I need to hear him call out my name for myself. Amen? Real quick nugget right here, guys. Lazarus was revived. There's revival in the story of Lazarus. But let's realize that Lazarus died. He died first, and then there was revival. We throw around the word revival a lot in the church these days because we should be focused on revival. We should be praying for revival. We should want revival in the church. That's what God promises us. But I think what we're missing sometimes is that there's something has to die for there to be revival. There will not be revival if you look the same as you did before you met Christ. There cannot be revival if there isn't something dying first. And what should be dying is your old bad habits, is your old way of life, is your old thought process. On the other side of that, there is revival. Amen? Amen. Real quick, I just want to touch on this warning because we talked a lot about God's promises. And those are yes and amen, and we should talk on those promises. And we should have faith in him, and we should lean unto him. But let's be careful never, ever to put the gifts above the giver. Let's make sure we never put the promises above the promise keeper. Amen? Moses at one point tells God when he's talking about the promised land, Moses says, God, if you're not in the promised land, I don't want to go. And that is so powerful. What if for a moment we just had that same heart? What if we had like, hey, the blessing that I've been praying for years, I'm realizing now, God, that if that blessing, if you're not there, if your presence isn't there, I don't want it. Because Moses realizes if you go ahead of God's spirit, if you go somewhere where God's spirit isn't, even if it looks good and even if it feels right, that blessing could feel like hell on earth real quick if God's presence isn't there. You can go to that new job and that new position, but you're going to get there and you're going to realize God's Spirit isn't here and I'm empty. It looked good. It felt good. It felt right. Why do I feel so empty? It's because you went ahead of God and the Spirit is not in there. His Spirit is not there. So that's just a quick warning to not put the promises in front of the promise keeper. Realize, above all else, want his presence first. Just want his will above all else. I'm going to pray us out, guys. Who felt like they got something tonight? This is a really good word, really encouraging. Oh, man. Guys, go open up your Bibles, ready to hear. Be ready to receive, and your whole life is going to change, I promise. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you are so real, you are so alive, and you're so loving. That when your word says that heaven and earth shall pass away, but your word will never fail. As long as we are in your word, you will not fail us. God, I pray a Samuel spirit over everybody right now. Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. Lord, I thank you that Hope Community is walking into new blessings, is walking into new promises, because we recognize it's all for your glory. Dear God, we thank you for the blood of Christ. We thank you for the gospel. We thank you for the good news. We thank you that we do not have to do it on our own. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to shake ourselves free. We don't have to do it by ourselves. You haven't left us nor forsaken us. In Jesus' name, God is alive and God is real, and his love for you is real, and his word is real, and his word for you today is, don't give up. I'm just around the corner. Just like the angel told Mary, Jesus is alive, just like he said he would. That promise that you've been praying for a long time is right around the corner, just like he said he would. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your promises, that they are all a yes and amen. We pray against any spirit of condemnation. We pray against any spirit of anxiety. We pray against any spirit of anything that is not of you. And when we use the name of Jesus, everything that is not of God, that is not of Jesus, has to leave. Because we're using the name above all names. Wait, you guys want to know why Jesus' name was above all names? It's because when he was here on earth, he was the least of these. He was a servant to all. So humble yourselves and watch God exalt you. Stop trying to do it the other way around. In Jesus' name, we pray a servanthood, and we pray a servant mentality, and we pray a servant's ear. Amen.